This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's Resource Centre. This is Frida Liu. HRDF is hosting the first Trainers Conference 2015 in Malaysia, themed Cultivating Trainers, Catalyst in Growth. The conference will be an interactive platform to share ideas, gain new insights, as well as shape new intellectual training content that will help cultivate trainers and catalyst the growth of the nation. I have two people here with me speaking at the conference. Tomorrow is Arthur Kamazi, founder of Directive Communication Methodology, and representing HRDF is Mohammad Ghazali Abdul Aziz, this chief special purpose vehicle. And we've got to start with Gaz on his title, chief special purpose vehicle, you know, what he does and why HRDF is doing this.
Basically, under the chief special purpose vehicles, we are looking at those what we are considered as non-core for HRDF. Mm. But it is important in terms of helping the government to address human capital development. So, By 2020, we're supposed to achieve 35% of our workforce as a skilled workers. Mm-hmm. And by looking at that, training and development is important for us to achieve at that target. Right. And the responsibilities of trainers and training community is becoming more and more crucial. That's why we have we organize this conference first for 2016, and it will become an annual event because we want first the trainers to enhance their quality in delivering trainings, because we want trainers to add value to organizations by producing more competent workers.
Okay, before I get to Arthur though, when you say core and non-core of HRDF, what's core, what's non-core?
Okay, HRDF is established based on Human Resource Development Act. Yeah. And there are about 16,000 employees registered with us. And core business is service that we catered for that groups. And non-core, we have support training community, for example, that support that core business. Training providers is one of them. Mm-hmm. Also, we are looking at the small, medium enterprises in Malaysia. We have more than 600,000 establishment of SMEs out there. Yeah. So one of the things we are looking at is as HRDF to become the HR of SMEs. Mm-hmm. So we have set up this, what we call as National Human Resource Center.
Right.
And under the National SME Development Council, we set up SME instrument whereby we are looking at training for SMEs in order for them to help them to grow. Mm. So this is our SMEs which is not registered under HRDF.
Okay.
So, and another division that is under the SPV part is that we try to help government in reskilling, upskilling the workforce, in addressing gaps in the human capital development. For example, training for retrenched people, training for those who are in youth, for example, training training for housewife also.
Right.
So there are small pockets of gaps in human capital development, right. And this special purpose vehicle helps the government to address that.
Okay, so the goal is 35%. You know, you said the goal is 35% skilled workers. Yeah. What are we now?
Currently, if you look at the latest document of 11 Malaysian plan, it's about 28%.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so the reason, and the training, the conference tomorrow is aimed at trainers.
Yeah, we are. The conference is aimed at trainers, whether it's training vendors providing training to companies or internal trainers from organizations.
Right. Okay. Now, Arthur is also ranked as one of the top 10 thought leaders in leadership globally. So, you know, why have you partnered with Arthur to, you know, kick off the first one?
Oh, okay. one of the aim of the conference is that to help the trainers, training vendors, training community to learn about techniques, new techniques, new trend methodologies in order to give that value to employers. Mm-hmm. And directive communication, we see as one of the techniques that could help enhance the training delivery in Malaysia.
Right. And I'm sure, like, Arthur, you've met a lot of trainers as well. And I don't know if it's just a Malaysian-specific problem or a global problem. What do you find that, you know, how can trainers be better?
Okay, well, first of all, I mean, okay, across the world, it's not just Malaysia. Okay, right. There are initiatives where the government will basically support training. And this essentially basically creates this idea. It's like, oh, hey, I don't have a job. Let me be a trainer.
Yeah.
Okay, and you know that that is literally one of the issues that creates problems in the industry.
The old saying, "Those who can't teach."
Yeah.
I mean, it's not true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so what ends up happening though is that you've got these you've got people who will read a book and they'll make some slides, or even worse, they'll just borrow slides from the internet, and they will just kind of regurgitate information. And right now people don't need information. Transference of information is not training. Mm. Okay, the ability to transform somebody's perspective, somebody's belief in themselves, somebody's ability to develop and improve their competence in a particular area, okay, is not about information. Right now we live in a world where information overload is constant. Okay, so it is not about transferring information. It is about literally taking people through a journey that they will be able to change certain facets about how they do things, and then literally be able to actually apply them so that there is an improvement in whatever it is that they're trying to achieve.
Right. Okay. So what do you see the gaps in Malaysia though?
We engage one of our what we do in HRDF is that we engage our employers, and we have forums, dialogues where we ask them what you need for HRDF to improve further, and most of the issues is around trainers, the training delivery, the quality of trainings they have received thus far.
All right.
So that's why we are having this conference, in order to inviting people like Arthur to give them new insights on what they should done, what they should do actually in giving training to our employers.
Right. And when you think about training, when you talk about training, is it just face to face training? Are we talking about webinars and the online stuff?
Okay,
as well?
we do webinars, we do online stuff, and even the online stuff, we're actually looking into various aspects because our organization is about innovation. It's about growth, okay? And right now we have 267 trainers globally that are using directive communication psychology as licensed trainers in D.C. So when we're developing stuff, it's also apps that support training, okay? It's also the, and right now we've got some online programs, okay? But those aren't good enough from the standards that where we want to achieve. And so we're also incorporating some apps. For example, one of the apps will literally be a stalking app. Okay? As long as you give it permission, once you've attended a specific training, what ends up happening is that this will actually follow you around. It knows you're at Starbucks and it's going to ask you to go and talk to the guy and find out something related. It knows that you're near another person who has taken a similar training in some other place, and it asks you to connect with them and discuss a particular topic. Yeah. So it literally, it knows where you are. It knows you're talking to somebody, to Sally on Facebook, and it says, "Hey, Sally, why don't you, try or hey, try to identify Sally's colored brain based on three questions and then reply." And the system actually uses what's called a tin can API, and it basically it's an artificial intelligence that lets you input your answers, your real life application answers, to constantly reinforce the training so that people are not just getting it one time and then forgetting it, but really improving it and making it happen. And so these are innovations that we're doing because, our goal is that people literally not just retain, because, right now, directive communication retention is 42% more than experiential training, and 38% more implementation than experiential training. So our goal is, get it up to 70%.
Right. In a gist, though, what is directive communication then?
Okay, directive communication is essentially the science of group dynamics. Okay? So you'll notice that in different environments, you behave differently. So, for example, you know, with your friends, you behave a certain way. When you're with people at work, you're behaving a certain way. And you influence the group as well as the group is influencing you. So understanding how that works also basically helps you to improve your ability to deal with people. Mm. It helps you to get more engagement, okay? And it helps you to basically deal with situations intelligently instead of reacting to them so right. that you actually apply strategy rather than just create more problems,
right.
okay? And so the applications here are literally across any soft skills, okay? So you've got, it can be applied to customer service. Of course, you know, I apply it to leadership and our biggest area of concentration is organization culture change where right. I mean it literally affects entire organizations and we have a process for that, different story, okay? In training, okay, understanding how to apply directive communication in a training environment, okay, where you've got certain people where you have to keep them engaged, okay?
Yeah.
People that are not engaged will not learn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have to keep them engaged and you have to be able to connect with different people's processes of interpreting and processing information.
Yeah.
Okay, plus you also have to motivate them. They have to, in order to create engagement, there has to be a certain level of motivation, something. It's like, what do I get out of it?
Mm.
Okay, and of course, I mean, the processes for reflection within the within the training process are essential, because without reflection, nothing changes.
Mm.
Okay, so I learned something. I've got some stuff that I'm learning and I'm applying it here. But you know, how am I going to apply it in my life? And what happens when I do?
Mm.
So creating scenarios and environments where that is clear helps learning to be more effective.
Right. We're talking about HRDS conference that's happening tomorrow, Cultivating Traders, Catalyzing Growth. Mm. We'll continue our conversation with Arthur Kamazi from Directive Communication Methodology and Mohamed Ghazali Abdul Aziz from HRDF. After this, you're listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Center. Frida Liu here. I'm speaking to Mohamed Ghazali Abdul Aziz from HRDF. He's got a very special title, Chief Special Purpose Vehicle, I like to say it. And Arthur Kamazi, founder of Directive Communication Methodology. It's the first conference, trainers conference, being organized by HRDF, a theme to cultivating trainers and catalyzing growth. Why do I keep saying that? Arthur, you know, we were just talking a little earlier on about the way this whole delivery, it's about delivery. It's not about, so when a trainer comes in, they've got their specific topics, but it doesn't matter what topic it is that they're an expert in, but it's that method of being able to deliver it, that the participants will get it and use it.
So, okay, well, here's the thing, all right? Let's look at your typical trainer,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And maybe if you haven't gone through any kind of training, you've probably gone to school,
mm-hmm.
all right? Now, let's just assume that you've got a teacher, a trainer, a professor, whatever, all right? Now, this person, okay, they're designing their training course, their class, whatever, and let's say this person wears red-colored glasses,
mm-hmm.
all right? How are they going to design their class? In a red way.
Okay.
Right? Now, how are they going to deliver the class?
Okay.
In a red way. Yeah. Right? And how are they going to create the tests and the homework? In a red way. Okay? And then, on top of that, you know, they're going to grade everything in a red way. And guess what? If you have red-colored glasses on, it's like, oh, it's so clear. It's obvious. I get it.
Right.
And this is where, like, if you were in university and, like, you see these people that were, like, seemed really smart, they didn't really have to study. Okay? It's not necessarily that they were super smart. It's just that they had maybe the same colored glasses as the teacher,
okay.
right? And they were reasonably smart.
Yeah, yeah. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So now what happens to the other people, the ones that are wearing green or purple glasses, you know, and they're looking at this and they're going, oh my gosh, what is he saying?
Mm.
Okay. And even if they understand the concepts, the way that it is incorporated into this, it just, you know, it's like easy to forget.
Mm.
Okay. So the goal is not to deliver information. The goal is to create an environment, a learning environment within a training atmosphere where people literally have multiple ways of getting it into their brain. I mean, our, for example, in directive communication courses, any of our directive communication trainers, okay, the introduction to the class, okay, is usually about 2.5 hours at least, okay, because it literally works with making sure that everybody has, you know, has an emotional investment personally with the class itself.
Right.
Okay, and that is the key. Okay, the moment you go, oh, okay, here, let's do this. Okay, boom, boom, here's some information, you're done. Okay, but when people are internally motivated and see the personal benefit of what they're going to learn and can really connect it with their own personal experience, personal growth, and personal success, that is when you – and that's the start, okay? But throughout the program, you know, you've got to have the right ways to get to everybody on different levels.
Okay. Does this go beyond NLP where we talk about how some people are visual and
– Okay, yeah, this is not – okay, okay, let's do – okay, let's – NLP would be the science of the individual,
right,
all right?
Right.
Directive communication is like an NLP for groups. It's a specific set of behavioral concepts and models that specifically determines or it applies to groups.
Mm. Okay, so that sounds different. So, okay, right now you're doing this and registration is still open for the conference tomorrow?
Yeah, it's still open.
You're looking at trainers, external trainers, internal trainers.
Yeah, who are involved in trainings,
okay.
Actually. We are targeting about more than 200. And now, I think the registration is nearly 300.
Okay. People. So you're hoping that more... And people can just come in, walk in tomorrow?
Yeah, they can walk in and just register with at the counter. Mm-hmm. But they have to pay. 583.
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course they have to pay.
But if you buy now, is there any special deal for them for BFM?
Still 583.
Okay.
So if they register now, I think that the registration is still open even tomorrow, so they can just walk in.
All right.
So,
okay.
We hope more people in the training community to join this conference.
You know, Arthur, I know you've written a couple of books, and we've spoken before, you know, and we're talking about different books. We discussed corporate culture, I think, last year. And I know one of your books, actually, I'd like to talk to you on a separate level, on the psychology of selecting the right employee. Is there a book that addresses this that people can read up and understand how to do this a little bit better?
Okay, well, first of all, I mean, directive communication... for trainers, it's a process, okay? It's, you know, we do have an online component because we needed to shorten the time it took to actually certify. We're also accredited by the American Institute of Business Psychology. Mm-hmm. So we have trainer certifications here in Malaysia,
right,
with our JV company, which is Culture Dynamics DCI. And, of course, we also have trainer certifications at my resort, Avalon, in Bali.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that story.
You remember that? Okay. But those are processes, okay? The books are about the methodology, but until you actually really practice and practice and practice and you get the methodology down right. I mean, because you're dealing with people's brains and their motivations. And if you do it wrong, I mean, you can kind of mess it up, you know, and especially if you're doing intervention type work. Okay. So So for the trainer certification, we're also accredited, there also has to be a level of, there's tests and, you know, and the competency has to be there. But the book, for example, on the psychology of selecting the right employee, that one deals with cultural fit.
Mm.
Okay, see, a lot of times people hire based on competency.
Mm.
Okay, and some of the research that we've done March last year basically identifies where, you know, you can literally have a highly competent individual going into a highly competent team, and then basically the entire team becomes an underperforming team.
Right.
Okay, and you can have a mediocre team with a mediocre person, and suddenly you have a high-performing team.
Mm.
Okay, and so we identified why that happens, and created what we call the emotional drive matrix that basically identifies how you can literally cultivate or sculpture the right team in order to really be a high-performing team.
Do generations make a difference? If you're talking about culture right now.
Generations.
Gen Y.
Yeah, generations. The Gen Y is so misunderstood. Okay, everybody's saying, oh, the Gen Y guys, they just skip jobs and everything else. Hello, if you don't provide a decent environment, a decent culture, of course they're going to be skipping jobs. It's not that they're different. Right. It's just that they're more willing to take the risk, okay? It's not that they are not loyal. It's just that the people that are staying in a job that they think sucks, okay, are scared to move, okay? Right. The Gen Y is just less scared, okay? It has nothing to do with their loyalty or anything else. Yeah. I can guarantee you, you get Gen Y people into the right culture where they have the right work-life fit, they will stay and they will make your company successful.
Right. Okay. So it goes beyond generations. It is about the culture.
It absolutely is about the culture.
You know. Okay. With the reason that why you're all doing this as well is to upskill trainers. Right. Yep. Do you all do any evaluations anyway with HRDF to make sure that the standards of trainers are on par? What sort of measurements do you have in place at HRDF so that you don't want a case of garbage in, garbage out,
yep,
as well.
One of our initiative to increase the quality of trainers is that we have this train the trainer course, whereby those who wanted to offer trainings to become a trainers with HRDF, they have to undergo this train the trainer course of 5 days course, because we want to address that delivery and enabling those attendees to use what they have learned to apply it at workplace. Those who are newcomers, newly graduates and so on, they have to attend this.
Right.
But for those who are experienced enough, they have to show us that they have conducted more than 25 trainings for us to for them to be exempted from this process.
Right.
So that's one of our ways to evaluate the quality of trainers also. And way forward, HRDF is embarking on this journey to create what we call as a learning platform, where we want to evaluate. PSMB will not evaluate trainers, but the attendees of the training will evaluate the training program itself.
Right.
So we want to create the star rating for trainers, for training programs.
Ah.
So we are embarking on that. So if an organization wanted to select any training providers, they would look at that comment.
And you can put like a TripAdvisor style
with
a rating.
Yes.
So get an app for it.
Yeah.
There you go. And I should also mention that number of our trainers, because our training is internationally accredited, our trainer is internationally accredited, have gotten letters that apparently you guys have required, which has exempted them from taking that course.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, I guess if people want to, is there a website that people can go to as well? Is it just to HRDF?
www.hrdf.com.my.
Oh, .com.my. It's not .gov, it's .com.my.
Yes.
It's happening 18th and 19th of August. That's tomorrow and Wednesday at Sunway Pyramid. It's $583. After discount, you get it at $583.
Yeah, correct.
Buy now.
And if you haven't got time to register, people can register online. Or can they walk? They can walk it. Just come in with a cash or a check.
Or probably you accept diamonds, gold.
And British pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. And thanks for being with us, Mohamed Ghazali Abdul Aziz, the Chief Special Purpose Vehicle from HRDF.
Thank you.
He's going to be transforming soon. Arthur Kamazi, founder of Directive Communication Methodology. You're listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station. We'll